Well, today we're continuing in the second week of our series that we're calling Baggage, and we kicked this off last week. And I'm telling you, we had just a powerful time in both of our services last week. And if you missed it, I want to encourage you to jump online or get on the app and make sure you listen to that message. It was something that was very near and dear to my heart. I shared a little bit of an illustration called that message, Unchecked Baggage. And I just shared a little bit of a personal story in my life of some baggage that went unchecked for many years that nobody knew about, but that the Holy Spirit one day when I came home as a single man just told me it was time to get some stuff dealt with. And so I shared part of that story last week, and I'm going to touch a little bit of it again even here today just because I feel like it'll be something that you can relate to, as all of us I know are carrying something. There's not one person in here today that I don't believe has come in here with some kind of need. And I just want you to know how much God loves you and how much it is the desire of God just to free you of whatever it is that you're going through. So our prayer for you has been that in this series that you're able to just get honest with God, and also that you're able to get honest with people as well. But I want to start off in our theme verse here this morning in Matthew chapter 11. So if you haven't grabbed your message notes, go ahead and do that. And let's read this. Really, this verse is a theme scripture for this entirety of our series. And Jesus is talking here, and he says this, "Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." I love that statement. Jesus goes on to say something very powerful that I think some of us need to hear today, that "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I want you to know it's the desire of God for you and I to live a life of freedom, that we don't have to be held back from our yesterdays, but that we can continue to journey forward in the freedom that God has for our life and to live light. And I don't know about you, but I just like that. I like knowing that we can live freely and live light. And so it's something very powerful that God gives us and that's available to us. So I want to take just a second and just kind of give you a health quiz and just kind of ask you a few questions, and then I'm going to go there. I'm going to go with you in this direction for what God has for you pertaining to some of the questions I have that I think just kind of get your heart stirring a little bit and your brain thinking a little bit today. But how many of you have ever been wounded? Maybe you're in a place that you've broken some bones. How many have ever broken some bones? For me, I've broken a few bones. I broke my arm once, broke my foot at one time. How many have ever had some stitches? Maybe you've had a few, maybe 10, 20, or 30. How many have ever even maybe been wounded by a knife, been wounded even, or by a gunshot wound? Or maybe how many have ever served in the war and were wounded in war? And for those that were wounded in war, man, just a big God bless you again, and thank you just so much for your sacrifice for our country as well. But today, I want to talk to you about a different kind of wound. I want to talk to you about a baggage that I think many of us carry in this journey, and that is relational baggage. I believe relational baggage arguably may be the deepest wound that we deal with on this side of eternity. And so as we talk about relational baggage, it's something that I really believe that many of us carry forever in our life if we're not careful. Oftentimes it comes from abuse, it can come from criticism, it can come from ridicule or rejection, or ultimately just dealing with just disappointment in our life. And I think a lot of the relational wounds that you and I have can stem from a lot of different places. It can come from even maybe the schoolyard when you were a kid. Maybe things were said to you and people did things to you, kids did something to you, made fun of you, said things. I know for me, when I was in junior high, in high school, I was constantly made fun of my size being short to my love for Jesus. I had a lot of nicknames in school because of my passionate love for God. And then also going into high school because I was a virgin and I made a decision to keep myself from my wife. And so all kinds of things that were said to me stuck with me for quite a while until I learned to really kind of deal with some of those things. And so some of you may have had those kind of moments, or maybe it was moments from coworkers, maybe friends, or just even things that society has said about you or that you have heard. But I believe one of the deepest wounds that we have and that we oftentimes deal with, that is the wounds from our families. Sometimes it may have been your parents that have said something to you that you just feel like you've never been able to release that or let that go. Maybe it was from a spouse. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife said something to you that you just haven't forgotten that you know today, and it's time to deal with that. Maybe it was your kids. Maybe your kids said something to you, or maybe it was even your siblings, a brother or a sister that said something to you. Here's what I know today. I want to encourage you so much that the love of God is real for you. And God wants to touch your heart right where you're at if you'll let him. So I want to share a scripture and share a story today that I think is going to show the power of a relational wound. You're going to see how this man was really bogged down with some baggage and ultimately derailed him from purpose and God's destiny in his life. And this is a man that really probably nobody has really heard about. But he had a famous son. His son was a Hall of Famer of the faith. His name was Abraham. But Abraham's dad, his name was Terah. And a lot of people don't know who Terah was, and I think you're going to find out the reason why. But let's look at this verse of scripture here this morning out of Genesis 11 and verse 27. It says, this is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. And while his father Terah was still alive, notice this, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, that Terah had three different sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. But the thing that started the baggage for Terah was the fact that he lost his son, Haran. He lost his son prematurely, and that began some wounds within his heart that began to spiral him in a direction that become ultimately dangerous for his life, because we'll see here in just a moment in the next verse that God was really trying to move him towards purpose. God was wanting to take him to the promised land that he had for his life, which was his original call. And it says this in verse 31, that Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, look at this, the Bible says they settled there. I want to just take a quick second to pause on that, because when I was reading that this week, I thought, man, how many times do we come to a place in life and we just kind of buy into the lie of the enemy that things are always going to be this way, and so we might as well just settle here. And I think there's a lot of us, sometimes it's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to live in just a place of just settledness, and that's what happened here, that they made a decision that they're going to settle. But can I encourage you and challenge you with something today, that the only settling you need to be doing in your life is settling for God's best for you. And that's the struggle that Terah was at, that he, instead of continuing to go forward in God's plan, he made a decision that he was ultimately going to stop. And the Bible goes on to say that Terah lived 205 years, and then he died in Haran. I think it's interesting that the city that they were named in was Haran. Haran, the name of his son that passed away. Something else that's interesting that I was looking up this week, the etymology or the definition or the meaning of the name Terah actually means delay. And I think what's interesting is here he was dealing with some emotional, relational baggage in his life. But instead of dealing with it, the Bible said they settled, and because of they made the decision, they settled, ultimately stopped them from their pursuit, stopped them from God's plan and the promised land for their life. And so he never reached the place that God has destined for him. And I want to encourage us, let's not make the same mistake. And my prayer today is that we learn from some very practical things, how to move forward, how to let some of this go, and continue to march on into the freedom that God has. So if you're following along in our notes here this morning, jot this first thing down, because relational baggage has the potential to do a lot of things. And here's one of the first things that it can do, is it can ultimately keep us from our potential. I think not dealing with some of the baggage in our life can rob us of the potential and the best that God has for our life. And I think it's sad to see in this scripture that Terah never reached his potential. Think about that. Man, I don't want that ever said of me, that I never reached my potential. I don't think you want that ever said of you. That let's be a people that just make a decision. Let's not believe in the lies that the enemy has tried to cast to us, or even maybe what people has tried to say about us. But let's only believe God's word and God's best for our life, because their terror just hung out in the place of Haran. But I think so many people never learn really how to get rid of their baggage. And what has happened is they've allowed the past things to now define their future. And so they really never move on from where they're at. And so I want to just kind of throw out a warning, kind of a caution to you today. And that is this, that when you were hurt, because we all get hurt in this thing called life, but when we're hurt, we're not very smart people. And I think what happens sometimes is we try to handle things up out of our emotions, up out of our feelings, which ultimately, if you've ever done that before, you'll know, man, that can get you and I in a bunch of trouble. So when we don't deal with the hurt and the pain, man, we can get into a place that's oftentimes taking us away. Hurting people hurt people. And I just want to tell you today, God desires to bring healing to your life. But when we're hurt, we think we can handle things on our own. We think we don't need anybody's help, anybody else's counsel. But I want to encourage you, you've got to find people that you can trust. I want you to know this church is committed to you. Our pastors, our leaders, our small group leaders, we're committed to you. You need God, and you're going to need people in this journey. David here in Psalm 73, verse 21, he said, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered," notice this, he said, "I was senseless and ignorant." Meaning in the midst of my mess, in the midst of my hurt, I did some stupid stuff. I said some not good things. I was senseless. I was ignorant. I'm just telling you, what you've been waiting for is you need the Lord to move in these areas of your life, and you're going to need people as well to help you on within the journey. Here's the next thing, if you want to jot this down this morning, that carrying relational baggage does is that it pollutes our other relationships in our life. Tara's decision, I was reading this week, and it just was profound to me that his decision literally affected his entire family. If you go on and read in the next chapter of Genesis, you'll see that God literally had to separate the family. He had to move Abraham and his family on. And I think what happens a lot of times with relational baggage and the problem with it, that our relational baggage, when we don't deal with it, affects other people's trip. And here's what I mean by that. Our wounds can get transferred to other people that are closest to us. You might be in a place today in your marriage that you're finding that the undealt issues of your frustrations or whatever it may be for your life is affecting your spouse. It may be affecting your kids. It could be overall just affecting the climate of your home. And it's time to just get honest and see this for what it is. Hebrews 12:15 says it this way, that a bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others. I've just literally seen in my time in ministry how undealt issues and things that we're feeling, when they don't get dealt with, has the ability to poison those closest to us and affect their hearts and affect their lives, even maybe affect their future. I think just a saying to remember is you got to deal with what you feel. I think that's good preaching. I think that may be something good just to Twitter today, all right? Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to deal with what we feel. Come on, tell him. Tell him real good. We got to deal with what we feel. We got to get real honest with God, and we've got to begin to deal with that. Because here's what happens, and I've got a couple sub-points to this that I want to give you, that when we don't deal with this baggage, it makes us, first of all, jot it down, makes us defensive. That we begin to put a wall around us because we've been hurt by other people. So we think the best decision is to just kind of put us in a place and to keep us from people and just draw this wall around us ultimately so that no one will hurt you again. So for some of us, we've distanced ourselves in that place, which really is my second kind of subpoint to this. This is when we don't deal with that relational baggage, it does make us distant. It makes us defensive, makes us distant. We think sometimes that isolating ourselves is the best case, is the best decision. Let me just expose a lie of the enemy. That's one of the greatest lies of the enemy, is to get you and I to believe that separating ourselves or isolating ourselves is the key. And I'm telling you, that is one of the worst decisions you and I could ever make. I know in the midst, and here's what I just feel like I've learned in the journey, that when I'm at my best, it's because people are in my life. And I find my greatest struggles and my toughest moments is because I'm dwelling on the thoughts and I'm trying to work it out all by myself. I'm telling you, you need God and you need people, and isolation isn't the key. That's why I love the house of God. Man, because I've got tough weeks. And some of those tough weeks, can I just be honest? I cannot wait to get here on Sundays. I already love being here, but let me tell you, in those tough weeks, I just can't wait to be in the presence of God with God's people. There's an anointing. And when it comes to being here, even just on a Sunday, and to never underestimate. And here's the other thing that it does, the last kind of subpoint I want to give to you when we don't deal with our relational baggage, is it makes us demanding. That whenever we're insecure, here's what we try to do, is we just try to control things. And when we live this way, let me tell you this, you are not a pleasant person to live with. People that are often controlling and demanding, is just, it's hard to do life with that. And so I think what that is a symptom of fear, and I think it's a symptom of insecurity, in which is why we've got to allow God to minister healing to us. And can I tell you, that's exactly what he wants to do. For some of us, our hearts have been so stone cold. And the Holy Spirit today desires to bring healing to your heart. Here's what I know. I realize relational baggage is not easy to deal with, but it's important. And it's not the will of God for you to just stop and never go on beyond where you're at. There is so much more for your life. You can be healed today. You can be free today as well. And lastly, here's the most tragic result of relational baggage is that it can destroy our relationship with God. I think the sad thing about Terah is that he is never heard from again. Like, we don't ever hear about him later on in Scripture. And what a lot of people don't realize is that your relationship with God, your vertical relationship with God, oftentimes affect your horizontal relationships with people. And I believe the opposite you could look at and be true, that when you find yourself struggling with people, oftentimes it's because there's a struggle between you and God and your communication. But here's what I know, that we oftentimes have allowed the wounds and the issues of the past, that either through words or things done to you, to take us and to rob us from hearing God's voice because we think we know best. And I'm going to help you in a few minutes for some of us that need to make a decision to release that and help you to give you, I think, just some very simple things of how to do that here in just a moment. Mark 11, Jesus said this, verse 25, that when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Now, you got to listen to this. All right? Because this is what this verse is saying to you and me. Jesus is saying, hey, before you talk to me, you need to make sure you go talk to that person and deal with that stuff first. And when I was reading that, I thought, man, Lord, what a great reminder for all of us to make sure that we're handling the baggage when we have that comes with relationships sometimes, to make sure we are communicating and handling those things well. You know, John Wesley, one of my favorite preachers, he helped found the Methodist movement. He had a man that came up to him one day and he said, John, you know, I had this guy. Man, he just caused so much hurt in my life. I just made a decision I'm never going to forgive him. And John Wesley, in a very John Wesley type of way, just made one simple response back to him. And he just said this. He said, well, then I hope you never sin. And here's really what that's saying, that if you refuse to forgive people who have hurt you, you are ultimately burning the very bridge that you must walk across in order to get to heaven. And think about it this way, because Jesus said it best. These are his words right here in Matthew 6. He says it best. He said this, and this is out of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And that's a dangerous prayer to pray. It's literally saying, and I want you to hear me when I say this because this is so important. This is what this verse and this prayer is literally saying. It's saying, God, forgive me the same way that I forgive others. Think about that. God, forgive me. That's what that prayer is saying. Forgive me the same way that I forgive other people. And I think that's just something we need to really think about. What's that look like for your life? I'm challenging you to be a grace giver. I'm challenging you to be a person that releases forgiveness. I'm challenging you to do exactly what Jesus always does for you and for me, and that's that he releases grace, he releases forgiveness to us. Aren't you thankful for a God who releases his love, his grace, and his forgiveness? Come on, even when we may not deserve it, he says, you deserve it. He paid the ultimate price over 2,000 years ago so that we could have that. Aren't you thankful for a Savior that really is for real about his love for his people that we find in Jesus? It's incredible. So how do we get to a place, Kyle, of free? How do we allow the relational wounds of the past? How do we see that healed? Well, I want to give you the good news today. And the good news is this, that God specializes in healing broken hearts. Let's see these verses. Psalm 147:3. The Bible says that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We read a scripture last week that even the Bible also says that he's close to the brokenhearted. He's close to those who are crushed in spirit. And so what I want you to realize is that God is here. Like, he understands. Scripture says in another verse, he understands our very condition that we are in. He knows what's happening in your life. You got to trust him. I want to give you this verse. We read this last week, and I want to just kind of bring it back up to our remembrance again here today out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world." Watch this. It says, "On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We keep baggage oftentimes. Here's why. Because we believe in the lie. Last week, I gave you the Bible, the Bible word for the word baggage, and that is the word strongholds. Last week, we defined it, and really, here's what strongholds mean, just to do a quick review from last week. It means a prisoner that is locked by deception, or it means living life by something that is simply not true. And so, maybe you're in a place saying, man, well, Kyle, how do I expose this lie, and how do I get the truth that I need? I want to give you some very simple, practical things here today that I do believe if you'll open up your heart to God right now, come on, right where you're at, and just as you're even evaluating things within your life, man, allow the Holy Spirit to do what he's best at, and that's ministering to you, and that's bringing strength and healing and hope back into your heart, into your life again. So here's how we do it. Number one is you got to do this. You got to reveal the hurt. Listen, you're never going to be healed by just trying to keep this thing bottled up inside of you. And for those that have been in this season of your life, for some it may be years you've been carrying this, maybe some months, maybe some weeks, you're realizing you can't do this. And you're realizing it's not the plan of God for you to continue on just trying to keep this inside of you. So here's what you need to do. You need to make a decision right here today that I'm going to make the decision that I'm going to get honest with God. I'm going to get honest with the condition of my heart and what's going on inside of me. And here's the second thing I'm challenging you to do is you need relationships. You know, our small groups are in full session right now in this semester. You need people. You need, whether pastors, leaders, small group leaders, you need people in your life that you can talk to and talk to about whatever is going on in your life. I remember that season. And again, last week, I had on the stage some luggage up here representing really the baggage in my life, the baggage in our lives oftentimes that we had, and one by one revealed other new bags that was in our life. Because there was a season in my life, I thought I had dealt with some things, and I realized I really never did because I tried to do it. And it got me further and further, I believe, just away from God's plan and purpose in my life. And I'll never forget the challenge of God in that moment where God encouraged me to get honest with him, and I did, but then to get a hold of people. I'm just telling you today, I would not be here today had it not been for God and people in my life. I'm so thankful for God and his people. And that's part of the anointing that God brings upon relationships, James 5:16, that we can see that worked out in our lives and see God bring healing even through the people that are closest to us and that love us. Remember, you've got to find people relationships in your life that love Jesus even more than you do, healthy relationships. David here talking about his own hurts, and he said it this way. He said, Psalm 32, he said, again, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. He's saying this, when I didn't want to deal with it, man, this is what it felt like. And so that's why we got to be honest. And then in chapter 39, verse 2, he goes on to say, but when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. And that's the way it felt for me. And that may be the way it's feeling for some of you, that in your silence, you're growing in frustration. You're growing maybe in a place of emptiness, that you know that God, only God can fill that void in our hearts and our life. And again, he's just wanting to bring you and I into a place of rest, into a place of freedom. And so here's number two, a powerful, powerful moment that you've got to make a decision about today. I realize this second one may be one of the hardest things that we have to do, but it's going to be one of the most important, powerful, most incredible things that you could do for your life, and that's this. You've got to release the people that are involved. I've thought about this point so much, and I don't know of any other solution, anything else I can tell you but this one, that there are so many people that refuse to forgive, and it's sad. So many people that feel entitled to holding on to the hurt and the pain of whatever had happened. So much so that there are people that will live their entire life, think about this, and carry that baggage. You know, it's why I love the bumper video of this series so much. Did you notice when that man was carrying all that baggage, how many things he bumped into? But not only that, the people that he affected, even his family. And so, with those hurts and with that pain, when we don't deal with it, we live life with that with us, and we'll make decisions in our life in spite of what has happened to us in our past. And I'm challenging you today to release those people from your life. Release them. One of the biggest lies of the enemy is saying that revenge is going to make things better. There's a lie even in our culture that will try to tell us, don't get mad, get even. And it's a horrible way to live life. But here's what I know. And what I'm getting ready to say may be tough to hear, but I think we need to hear this. And it's something that I needed to hear and something that I had to deal with in my own life. That if you don't release that offender and whatever happened to you, you will begin to resemble your offender. And I ultimately believe that we become like whatever we focus on. And here's what I know in my life. There came a moment that after I just got honest with God and people, and I sought some good Christian help in my life to deal with the molestation that happened to me, to deal with the pornography that I struggled with. Can I tell you one of the next things I had to do was release the offender. And it was hard for me. It was difficult for me. To release forgiveness to that person was a struggle. But I realized this, that me releasing forgiveness, and someone needs to hear what I'm getting ready to say, me releasing forgiveness and letting that go was not saying what happened was okay. It's saying this, when I release that forgiveness to God, I released it. And when I released it, here's what that's saying. God, you take it. You take that, take this situation, and you deal with that person. And what you then give God the permission to do is take care of that. Because for so many of us in this room today, we've been lied to and feeling that's the best thing we need to do is hold on. When God is saying today, it's time to release that person in Jesus' mighty name. So that healing can come to you, strength can come to you, and so that you can be restored again. And I'm so glad because I'm free. And that person doesn't live with me anymore. The things and the offense and the things that happened to me, I was able to let that thing go. And it's an incredible, not just feeling, but it's incredible knowing that I'm free for that. That he who the Son sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed. Let's allow God to be God in our lives. So here's the question that oftentimes people ask. They say, well, man, where's the line? How many times do I keep forgiving people? Like, people keep hurting me. You're right. You're right. That's a great question. Here's the thing I know about you and me and people, is that we are messy people. I said it this way last week. We're smelly people. Yeah, not when we just play sports or run, but we're smelly people. Why? Because we got stuff we're dealing with. We got issues in our life. It's all over. There is no perfect person. Only God is perfect. And so there's going to be moments you're going to be hurt, but the question will become, what will you do when you're hurt again? And when you live free, you respond differently. Instead of responding out of the hurt, you respond out of freedom. And I'm telling you this right now, when you respond out of freedom, it's different because you know how to handle it according to the word of God. Why? Because you are no longer tied to your yesterday. You're no longer tied to the pain of the past. You are a free person and you are able to move forward in the mighty name of Jesus. And I'm encouraging you, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's trust God. So how many times do I keep forgiving? As often as it takes. That's the answer. That's the answer. Peter asked Jesus the same question. Here in Matthew chapter 18, let's check it out. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Peter throws out this number. He says, 7 times. But watch Jesus. He said this, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. I think Peter thought, man, 7's probably a pretty big number. Actually, when I read this verse this week, I thought there was probably maybe some humor in this conversation, just kind of the way it went. Under the Jewish law, it's said that you have to forgive a person at least 3 times. But I love Jesus' response because he doubles it and throws another in there for good measure. Jesus says, Peter, hey, man, you're not even close. 490 times. But really, here's what the point was saying, Jesus was saying. He's saying, as often as it takes, Peter, forgive people. Release them. Let them go. Release them. For some of us, we need to hear that today. It's time to release the hurts and the pain of the past. Why? Here's the question. Why? Because, again, it's what we expect, and it's what you and I need from God. How many times have we ever told God, I'm sorry? And I'm sorry, God, for making that mistake. Sorry, God, for tripping up and sinning and just saying something I shouldn't have said. Or, man, Lord, I struggled with anger. I'm sorry. How many times have we done that? We've all done it. We've all had moments that we've told God how much that we're sorry. But how many times did we do it again? Think about that. And God is still so yet faithful to continue to love us, to continue to forgive us, and to continue to believe in us again. Man, I'm just telling you this. God believes in you more than you even believe in him because you're his creation and he wants the best for his kids. So that's why he's waiting and he's wanting us to get a hold of, I believe, messages like this in his word that's going to bring about freedom in our life. But Jesus modeled it here. 1 Peter 2:23, check this out. He said this. It says this, when they hurled their insults at him, at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Some of you are saying right now, I know, because I can hear it. Say, man, there's just no way I can do it. Oh, I don't know how. I don't even know how to do it. And you know what? Let me just say it this way. You're right. You can't do it. That's why you need the power of Jesus Christ moving and working on the inside of you. The Bible says we love only because he loved us first. The only way we're able to love is because we experience the real love of our Father. And you and I got to remember that forgiveness is a supernatural act of God. And so I believe the greatest way is to remember and to realize that every attack that the enemy tries to throw against your life, including relational baggage, its purpose and he's meant to take you away from the destiny that God has for your life. I'm telling you, no person, no thing is ever worth keeping you and I away from God's plan and destiny for our lives. Come on, can you say a good amen in the house today? Because I'm telling you, we need to remember that. Nobody's worth it. Nobody's worth jeopardizing the call and the destiny that God has for us. Here's the last thing I want to give you. Number 3 this morning is that's this. We have got to refocus on God's plan for our life. For some of us, it's a time of refocusing. It's a time that we get the mind of God. It's a time that we give him full permission to have all of our heart, all of our life, not some of our heart and some of our life, but give him everything. You know, I was thinking about a story in the scripture of Genesis. And it's a story that I love so much because his name was Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer, the Bible said, and he shared his dreams with his brothers, and his brothers, man, just hated him for it, so much so that they actually wanted to kill him, but they end up selling him off into slavery. Joseph goes through so much turmoil, goes through the slavery process, then ends up wrongfully accused, thrown into the pit of a prison, but finds favor, and he goes literally from the pit to the palace where he's in power and has the opportunity to retaliate against his offenders, against his family, against his own brothers that wanted to kill him but sold him for slavery. But instead, he made a decision, because what was taking place in that time, there was a great famine in the land, and his family needed food. They needed to be fed. But he had an opportunity, like I said, to retaliate, but he made a decision that I'm going to somehow find God's purpose in all of this. And he realized that God was going to use him for the good. Look at the scripture in Genesis 50. It says, "Am I in the place of God?" And he's talking right here about his brothers and his family. He said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done." I know you wanted to hurt me, but even through the midst of this, God is going to use this right now for good. And the final verse I just want to give you here this morning, and I want to encourage every one of us to drop the baggage. The Bible says to cast all of your cares upon God because he cares for you. That word, literally casting our cares, literally means to drop and to let go of it and to never pick it up again. And for some of us today, it is time to drop the baggage. Drop the relational wounds. Come on, don't let your past define your future. There's so much more for you. Let's drop it. Come on, let's let it go today in Jesus' name. Let's release forgiveness. And let's let God handle whatever it is. But here's this verse I want to give you in Job 11. It says, "Put your heart right. Reach out to God. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more." Amen to that. Here's what I know right now. For some of us, you're saying, "Man, I've been so hurt. I've been carrying this for so long, Pastor. Like, man, this is hard. I just don't know. I don't know if I can forgive them." And I'm here to let you know that's exactly why you need Jesus. It's why you need his love. It's why you need his power. It's why you need him in your life working through this with you. You're not working this by yourself. He's with you. Why? Because you cannot manufacture the love needed to forgive. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need him working with you. Because if not, you'll die a bitter person. And I don't think that's what you want to be told about your life. I don't think, like much like Tara, I don't think you want to just stop and just settle where you're at. I think for many of us right now, you sense it's time to make the decision. It's time to get honest with God and get honest with people. I'm just telling you again, we're here. Man, we love you so much. I always dreamed of a church that we could come to, no matter what we're going through, to have people, pastors and leaders that we can come to and pour out our heart and our issues and whatever it is and never get judged for it, because you ain't gonna get that in this church. We have a policy here in this church. It's a no stones environment. And I'm telling you, we're gonna be passionately in pursuit of helping to love you and to see freedom come to your life. But you got to make that decision today. We can't do it for you. God's not going to force that upon you. You've got to get honest and be honest with him here today. And some, maybe you've noticed the trouble of forgiving others. Maybe it's because you've struggled forgiving yourself. I just want you to know, more than anything right now, Jesus forgives you, that he loves you. It's why he went to that cross, because he knew you and I were going to mess up. But he loves you and I so much that he paid the ultimate price on that cross so that we could have life and spend eternity with him. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just bow your heads all over the room where you're at here today. I want to take just a moment. I want to pray for you. And then in just a moment, one of our leaders is going to come up and going to continue in this moment of prayer with you. But just as your pastor, I just want to speak over you right now and pray this over you. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak life over every person. Lord, I come against every thought that has tried to lie to them to say this is the way it's always going to be. I declare this day that the lies and the power of the enemy have no hold on you any longer in Jesus' name. I declare you free. And I declare just a new day over your life, a day of just honesty with the Lord and making that step to talk with people. So Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you touch them only like you can. Minister to them, Holy Spirit. Refresh them even right now and bring healing into their life. Help them now to release those people, release that offense, release that hurt from their life. I declare their past will not determine their future. Today is a new day, and I speak it over their life in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor. What a powerful word. With our heads remain bowed, let's just stay in this atmosphere of prayer. If you're here today and you just connected with what Pastor was saying, and you want things to change in your life, but you've never received Christ as your Lord, as the Lord of your life, we're going to give you an opportunity this morning. And maybe you don't know how to release unforgiveness. You don't even know where to start. But Jesus is our starting point. And so we just believe that today is a crossroads moment for you that's going to be an impacting day that'll change your life. Today you can make a decision to put God first in your life and allow Him to help with the pressures and the baggage of life. Or maybe you've just drifted in your relationship with God and you're far from Him and you just need to rekindle that relationship with Him this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, just forget about everybody else in the room. This is about you and God. If that's you and you just need to connect with God today, just slip up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. I see those hands. I see that hand. Thanks, guys. We're so proud of you today. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask you just to repeat a prayer after me. We're all going to say this together, but if you raised your hand or maybe you didn't raise your hand because you were nervous, but you want that change in your life, just repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me for living life my way. Today, I invite you to be Lord of my life. Take control of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. Give me the power to change. In your name I pray. Now, continuing with your head bowed, if you were listening to stories, the story of Pastor today, and just like Pastor, you've experienced pain from someone that just seems unforgivable, or you've just come around the same mountain in life and hit that same wall over and over and over, today is the day of freedom for you. So if you just relate with wanting to release forgiveness to those who have hurt you or maybe rejected you or caused you pain, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to just to connect that prayer in your heart as we pray it over you today, and just receive forgiveness from God as you release forgiveness to those who hurt you. Lord, I've not loved but resented certain people, and I hold unforgiveness in my heart. And I ask you, Lord, to give me the power to release and forgive those who have hurt me. I do now forgive them, and I ask for you to forgive them also. Please replace my hurt with the peace and the love of Jesus Christ, and forgive me for the times that I have hurt others. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.